As we continue our series on the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit working in our lives as individuals and as a church, I want you to turn to a passage in John chapter 16. Begin at verse 5, down to verse 16. Let's hear God's word together. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, and righteousness and judgment in regard to sin. Because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I have said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, move upon us now. May you speak into our hearts. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. It should always be the Holy Spirit who convicts you of sin. Never religion, never the church, and never a preacher. The reason why that is the case is because preachers and religion can so often be corrupted by ulterior motives. The misuse of religious power has led to conflicts, the justification of atrocities or war. It has led to the plundering of nations under the guise of God. Religion has manipulated people. It has used guilt as a leverage for control. And Jesus, walking into the atmosphere of religion, understood that it could be so easily corrupted and manipulated and used to men and women's ends. As a result of that, even if religion is attempting to introduce you to the concept of sin, it can leave you feeling condemned or controlled, but not free. The difference between religion and a relationship with God is that God sent his Holy Spirit to speak to you about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. And the difference is that the Holy Spirit is perfect. The Holy Spirit has no ulterior motive. The Holy Spirit is not here to manipulate, but to introduce a message that could change your life. And the only way that we can actually attempt to do that ethically and with integrity is to try to seek to understand what the Scriptures say. And I believe that inherent within this message, and particularly in John chapter 16, is the hope that each person needs. Because this passage, through the power of the Spirit, reveals our condition truthfully. The Holy Spirit's role is to come and convince you of certain things. What is it that the Holy Spirit wants to do? Well, He wants to be obedient. He is being sent to do a certain task. Let's look at the verse and verses in particular. Verse 7. But I tell you the truth. It is good for you that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, in case it wasn't clear, then Jesus explains what He will do in relation to each of these. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in Me. Now, you might think at this stage that, yep, I'm okay with that. In regards to sin, I obviously am not sinning because I believe in God. Well, if you intellectually accept that God exists, you're on the same level as probably most demons as well. Yet there's nothing in the demonic kingdom that should bring them hope about such a belief. Good, we believe God exists, that's fine. But it doesn't save us. That's just an intellectual assessment of the world that you live in. And even though you know that atheists may take a different position, or even the agnostics, you accept the fact that God exists. You're not questioning that at all. But that's not the conviction that the Spirit wants to bring. He just doesn't want to introduce people to an idea. Jesus wasn't an idea. Jesus just wasn't a good person. Religion was not just a good thing in the sense of it offering a relationship with God. It fell much deeper than that. The conviction is that sin, when it takes hold on us, when we are actually born into it, when we're shapen by sin, inherently within each one of us is this desire to be independent from God. That's why the world creates so many idols. It does it instinctually. It dislikes the fact that God has the authority that He possesses. Sin creates within us this desire to establish ourselves in the world and for that world to revolve around us or our families. We take the dominant position in choosing what our standards should be, what our ambitions and our goals and our desires should be. We decide how we should deal with our own waywardness and brokenness. You see, belief requires something more than intellectual knowledge. When He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin. In regards to sin. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in Me. So if it's not an intellectual belief that the Spirit is talking about and He's convicting us of, then what is it? You see, what makes us uncomfortable is not the fact that we believe in God and haven't done anything about it. But the belief that is required here is a relationship that the Holy Spirit once formed between you and God. And that relationship is based in trusting in, adhering to, and relying upon Him at all times. It is a wholehearted dependence upon Him, not just for salvation on a cross, but for life in total. It is discipleship that Jesus is calling you to. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, your conviction of sin is your independence from God. And the Spirit of God is saying to you, your independence from God must stop. You cannot live a life isolated from Him. You must depend upon Him with your whole heart, soul, and mind, your body, everything about you must cling to Him. You must be His disciple. You must leave what you have, take up your cross, and follow Him. And the reason why we feel so convicted at times is because we haven't done that. And we know that our intellectual belief in God doesn't salve our conscience in one bit. Our attempt at trying to reconstruct a better life for ourselves doesn't in any way satisfy this insatiable desire for something more. No matter how good we get, no matter how disciplined we become, if we're not dependent on God for our salvation, if we're not saying, Jesus, I want you as Lord and Savior, if we're not saying any of these things, nothing will satisfy that ache in our heart. Nothing will take away those pangs of conscience that exist on a daily basis. Every time we lay our head on the pillow at night, we will lay it there with an uncertainty. Because we have not thrown ourselves upon the grace and mercy of God and seek to depend upon Him for our whole life. So we run this prodigal battle. We run away from the Father. We take up our sticks and we plant them somewhere else in some other region that we hope God could never be found. The prodigal ran away from the Father because he wanted his own life. He looked at what he had and he thought there must be more than this. And in his waywardness from God, he traveled some distance. He sat down. But you can never be out of earshot of God. It doesn't matter how far you run. It doesn't matter how hard you run. When the Spirit catches up with you, He will not let you go. And so He comes. And He says, why? Why will you not throw yourself upon Jesus? Why will you not leave it all behind and take up your cross and follow Him? Why do you hang on to your sin? I want you to let go of it. Jesus died for your sin on the cross, so that you wouldn't be tortured by it or tempted by it or destroyed by it. I've come to convict you. And I want you to be set free. See, the Spirit comes and reveals what we are. But the Spirit also comes to reveal what we could be. When He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and to righteousness. And a judgment in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regards to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. In regards to righteousness. So, if the Holy Spirit has come to me and He has convicted me that if I live in independence from Him, I'll not be happy. That if I live in independence from Him, I'll never be truly satisfied. That I'll never clear my conscience in the evening. It will always be there to trouble me until I do the right thing. That's the Spirit working in your life, striving with you. Why does the Spirit do that? It's not to control you. It's not to condemn you. It's not to make you feel worse. It's not to manipulate you. It's to introduce you into righteousness. And that whole concept of being in right standing with God, that's why He wants to do it. He doesn't want to make your life miserable, He wants to make it better. He doesn't want to take something from you. He wants to give it to you. You feel that you want to hang on to your sin because you prize it and it's something that you enjoy? Give it up. Because when the Spirit moves, He's moving to introduce you into something that's much better than what you're clinging to already. He wants to introduce you to righteousness because Jesus goes to the Father. Jesus explains it. This isn't just about your independence from God. It's so that your dependence on Him could become possible. I am going to the Father, and I will only go to the Father when my work is finished, when it is complete, and when it is done. And this is Jesus speaking prior to the cross, but He knows that the cross lies in front of Him. And He said, listen, the Spirit will come. He will convict you of your independence from Me, but He will want you. He will move you to become dependent on Me, because when I go to the Father, that work's going to be finished. In other words, your sin is going to be entirely dealt with. The penalty of sin is going to be removed, and the power of sin can be removed, and you can be in that right relationship with God and with each other, and we can be together in wholesomeness as God intended you to be, in a relationship with Him that He so desperately wants for you. So you're sad because I am going to leave you. I am overjoyed that I'm leaving you. Because when I leave you, where I go will be the declaration that your relationship with God is possible through what I have achieved on the cross. And so He laid down His life and took it up again so that you could have life. That you truly could be forgiven. That you could be in that right relationship with God. That you need not bury your head in the pillow with guilt or with uncertainty. Or sob into your pillow at night because of the wreck and ruin of your own life. The Holy Spirit comes to convict you so that you can be released from it. Not destroyed by it. But actually set free. To enjoy the relationship with God that He fully intended. That right relationship in a right place with God. And then He said in verse 11, and in regards to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. There is a judgment coming. And we know that. There's a judgment coming for those that don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior, who have had every opportunity to embrace Him. But through our own independence from God, have got to answer to God for why we sought a life without Him. Thankfully, the Spirit comes, convicts us of that, so that that can change. He reveals who we are, but only in the sense that He reveals it so that we can become something else. We can become dependent on God, and we can be in that right relationship with Him. But if we refuse to do that, then the Spirit also reminds us of the judgment that awaits. Because we have remained independent. But Jesus is slightly navigating this towards a different direction. This isn't just about your judgment or mine. Though that will inevitably take place if we disregard what the Spirit is saying. It's the only blasphemy against God that God will not forgive. It's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. When you seek to ignore constantly the Spirit's voice, there is no forgiveness for that. It's the only sin that can be. Because the Spirit was trying to get you to depend upon God. When you refuse the Spirit, you refuse to listen and you refuse to accept that message. And judgment will ensue as a result of that. But the judgment God is talking about here is in regards to judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Hallelujah. The prince of this world stands now condemned. In other words, He does not need to have the power over you that you permit Him. Because of what Jesus is about to do. He's going to die for your sin and for mine. And as a consequence of that, Jesus declared, and the Holy Spirit makes it known to every believer, the glory of Satan's condemnation. Because Satan, along with the broken world that we live in, and along with the brokenness of your life because you chose to sin, Satan felt that you were in his grip and under his power. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is the prince of darkness. And as a consequence of that, he feels that he has each human being safely within his grasp, within his grip. He watches the world destroyed and he smiles. He sees the wreck of our individual lives and our independence from God, and he gloats and he mocks God. And he believes that he has the power to keep you. And Jesus says, no, you don't. I don't care how many lives, Satan, you think you've destroyed. I don't care how dark you feel you are. I don't care how manipulated you can, how you can manipulate those around you or leverage them to their own destruction. Because I am come to break the power of sin, to cancel the debt of each human being, to nail those sins to a cross, and to declare before a broken world that there is hope, and that there is life, and that there's freedom, and that there's liberty in God. And the one who holds you in his grip can be destroyed by my actions on the cross. And he will have to let go. When you allow the Spirit to convict you of sin, when you allow the Spirit to remind you of righteousness, and when you understand that Satan is under Christ's feet, you are free to go. You are free to leave the kingdom of darkness and be translated into the kingdom of light. You don't have to be a prisoner to your own sin anymore. You don't have to live under the penalty of your sin anymore. You don't have to be under the power of sin anymore. You can be gloriously, wondrously set free, transformed by the grace and mercy of God. Death will not hold you. Satan cannot hold you. Jesus has freed you. Those that shall be set free by the Son, they will be free indeed. And we are coming up to a period in our seasonal calendar when we are surrounded by death. Only yesterday, walked through one of the shopping centers, looked in the window. What was in the window? Coffins. We're selling coffins at £60. The bigger fool buys that at £60. We could have made it for £20. Commercialized death, eh? That's what we'll do. One coffin. It was actually in Coleraine, in the shopping centre. Two coffins in the window. Rest in peace. One slightly open. One with actually the symbol or signs of a chain around it. And at this time of the year, what are we celebrating? Death. Deformity. Fear, oppression. Are we? Who's celebrating it? Prince of Darkness. It's quite simple. Jesus is not about death. Human beings might construct it, but Satan thrives on it. But not in this house. And not in our kingdom. And this passage reminds us of where the victory lies. So in the midst of this Halloween season, a message to all the onlookers, as we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me read this verse out to declare it to the spiritual realms. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment, in regard to sin because men do not believe in me, in regard to righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and in regards to judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned already. And so in that spiritual world where those exploits are taking place, a reminder to the demonic kingdom and to Satan himself from the Word of God, he stands condemned already. Death does not have a hold over Jesus. It didn't because he rose from the grave. And a death does not have a hold over us. We are free from the consequences and the penalty and the power of sin. And one day we will be free from its presence altogether. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin so that we can be free from it. He introduces us to righteousness because we can be a right relationship with God. And he declares to the demonic kingdom that judgment has already taken place. Not of every Christian, because Jesus actually died on the cross so that they would no longer be judged for their sins. So the only judgment left when Jesus died was for Satan himself and those who refused to accept him. But the believer is free to enjoy the freedom of a son and a daughter in his kingdom, the kingdom of light, that does not have to have symbols of death and destruction and despondency and despair or of evil, but of light and of life and liberty and Christ. That is the gospel at Halloween. That is the gospel. That Satan was defeated and destroyed. For his bankruptcy, he will languish in eternal hell and fire. But for those who have been set free from Jesus, have such a life. Such a life. You are free today if you allow the Holy Spirit in to fill you, to embrace you, to cherish you, to love you, to save you, to translate you from one kingdom into the kingdom of light. As you walk around Halloween and you see in the shop windows, just look in and say, I'm from a different kingdom. I'm from a kingdom that will reign forever. I'm in a kingdom that celebrates life, not death. Forgiveness, not torment. And we can walk into a new relationship with Jesus today that will change us forever. That's what the Spirit is attempting to do. That's why people are praying for you right now. That's why they are praying that you will find the life that Jesus wants for you. And the Spirit is speaking so that you can come and embrace Him as Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may Your Spirit speak to us through the words now that are going to be sung. May the Spirit continuous ministry.